The great sage Maitreya continued, being thus enlightened in complete spiritual knowledge by the son of Brahma, one of the Kumaras who was complete in spiritual knowledge, forsook them in the following words.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare.
So the Kumaras have been described as Atma Medhasa, means well versed in scriptural knowledge. Okay. And Prabhupada compares Atma Medhasa to Grahamedhi or Grahamedhasa. Grahamedhi means a person whose mind is engrossed in thoughts of sense gratification, and Atma Medhasa means a person whose thoughts are engrossed in spiritual subject matters, okay? Atma Medhasa, in Krishna consciousness. Darshita Atma Gati Samyak. So they, through their spiritual discourses, they show Atma Gati, the path of activities or this path of spiritual progress. Atma Gati can also be understood as Paramatma Gati, the path leading to the Supreme Lord, towards the Supreme Lord. So hearing all this, now Prithu Maharaj, he again worshipped them in the following words. Rajo Uvacha,
Rajo Uvacha,
Krito Me Anugraha Purvam,
Krito Me Anugraha Purvam,
Harina Artanu Kampina,
Harina Artanu Kampina,
Tam Apadayutum Brahman,
Tam Apadayutum Brahman,
Bhagavan Yuyam Agataha,
Bhagavan Yuyam Agataha.
The king said, O Brahmana, O powerful one, formerly Lord Vishnu showed me his causeless mercy, indicating that you would come to my house, and to confirm that blessing, you have all come.
Okay, so Krito me anugraha purvam. So he's saying you have done so much, shown so much mercy to me. Krito me anugraha purvam harina artanu kampita. The Lord, who is merciful, previously predicted that you will come. Someone may say, if the Lord predicted, then where is their mercy? Right? The Lord already predicted, so they had to come to fulfill the prediction of the Lord. How is it is their mercy? So Prabhupada very nicely explains that although it may be predicted by the Lord, but the devotee has to work hard to fulfill that prediction. And the purport only. Right? So, in other words, Prabhupada says in the sixth line, in other words, when the Lord makes a prediction, he fulfills that prediction through some of his devotees. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that both his glorious name and Hare Krishna Mahamantra will be broadcast in all towns and villages. And Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Prabhupada desired to fulfill this great prediction, and we are following in their footsteps. Right? So the Lord made prediction, but the devotee has to work hard to fulfill that prediction. Just like here, Prabhupada says the prediction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction is Prithvi te ache yat nagar adi gram sarvatra prachar hai de murana. Another prediction of Nityananda Prabhu is Adbhuta mandir ek hai be vikas. Right, one great temple will come, but devotee have to work very hard to fulfill that prediction. That is not easy. Adbhuta mandir ek hai be vikas. Gaurangera Nitya Seva Hai Vivikas. So in this way, Mahaprabhu's eternal service will expand from this Adbhut Mandir. So there are many such predictions, but so in this way there is a reciprocal relationship. Right? Sometimes the devotee makes a promise and the Lord works hard to fulfill it. The Lord gives some promise or prediction, the devotee works hard to fulfill it. Right, is it not? So it's a very reciprocal relationship. What is the other example where the devotee makes some promise and the Lord works hard? Right, so Lord is saying, you promise, but I will work hard to fulfill it. Kaunteya pratijanihi. You promised. So, Maya Dhanav.
Indra.
Right, Indra wanted to devour all the Khandava forest and all that, but Maya Dhanav took shelter of, and then he was protected. Right? He was not killed.
Killing Jayadrath, Arjun promised and Krishna.
Arjun promised and Krishna worked very hard, the killing of Jayadrath. Right? So there are many such instances. ये इसका ये देखने का काम नहीं कर रहा ओके सो इन दिस वे व्हाट इफ द लॉर्ड प्रॉमिसेस समथिंग एंड द डिवोटी आल्सो प्रॉमिसेस एंड दे कम एट कॉन्फ्लिक्ट विद ईच अदर देन द लॉर्ड कीप्स द डिवोटीज प्रॉमिस इट्स लाइक भीष्मस केस सो देयरफॉर डिवोटीज प्रॉमिसेस is kept at the cost of even Lord's promise. Tumi jana Krishna nija pratigya chadila bhakta kripa vashe bhishmera pratigya rakhila. So this is somehow Bhattacharya is telling Gadadhar Pandit. Right? So the Lord somehow forcibly sent him back. And Gadadhar Pandit had taken the Kshetra Sanyas, he wanted to go with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord somehow at the cost of great personal pain of his heart, right? He sent Gadadhar Pandit back. Then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, the Lord is very careful to keep the vows of the devotees, right? Even at a lot of personal pain. Therefore, he is saying, just like he kept the vows of Bhishma and broke his own vow, like that. And Prabhupada says, Lord's another promise is that yada yada hi dharmasya, and Lord himself comes to fulfill his own promises. Right? So in this way, Prabhupada gives the example of Narasimhadev coming to fulfill the promise of Prahlad Maharaj, Lord Buddha coming out of compassion, right? And so on. So Lord comes out of his own compassion also to show mercy. Right? Here the word used is Arth Anukampita. Lord is merciful to the distress. Okay. 43. Nishpaditascha karsnena Bhagavadhir grihanadubhi Sadhu chishtam hime sarvam Atmanasah kim dade.
My dear Brahmana, you have carried out the order thoroughly because you are also as compassionate as the Lord. It is my duty, therefore, to offer you something. But all I possess are but remnants of food taken by great saintly person. What shall I give?
Okay, so he's saying, you have carried out the order thoroughly of the Lord, right? Lord predicted, and you took all the pain to come here and instruct me. So it is my duty to offer you something. It is my duty to show my gratitude by offering. But what should I offer? Whatever I have is already remnant of Brahmanas. So he's saying, what can I offer to you, O the Brahmanas? Because whatever I have received is from Brahmanas only. Remnants of Brahmanas. So what can I offer you? That means what? Everything belongs to you. Everything already belongs to you. So what can I offer you? That is the point being made. So in this way, Prabhupada describes that indirectly, Pitu Maharaj, he is offering everything to them. Right? When someone says, what can I give you? It already belongs to you. Everything belongs to you. Right? You see, this way of offering is a very refined, very superior way. Why? Because Prithu Maharaj is saying that what can I offer you? Everything belongs to you. Prithu Maharaj doesn't want to take any pride or any credit that he wants to offer. Someone wants to offer, he said, okay, please take anything you want. Right? Like then he is considering everything belongs to him, now he can give something. Right? So, Prithu Maharaj, he doesn't want to take any pride. He Prabhupada says he wants to offer everything. But he is saying, what can I offer you? Everything already belongs to you. That means, I have no credit of offering anything to you. It already belongs to you. Just like there was a disciple of Bhaktivedanta Thakur, Jagabandhu Prabhu. He built the Gaudiya.
Jagabandhu?
Okay, Jagabandhu Prabhu. That is name Jagabandhu Prabhu. Anyway, it's same meaning. So Jagabandhu Prabhu, he built Bagh Bazar Gaudiya Math. Remember his full name? There was a title also to his name. Bhakti something. Bhaktivedanta Thakur used to give all the titles also. Bhakti Ranjan Jagabandhu Prabhu, something like that. There was a name. So anyway, he spent all his life earnings to make that Bagh Bazar Gaudiya Math temple, first marble temple. Right? Everywhere marble is there. And when the construction started and everything, he always wanted to do more, right? New ideas came, new thoughts came. This can be more beautiful, that can be more beautiful. So keep spending money. Right? Ultimately, he spent everything he had. Right? And when so many disciples, another disciple, they said, you have spent everything, you have given everything. He immediately denied. He said, no. Don't say I have done anything. Everything already belonged to my Guru Maharaj. Like, it's very difficult to say that. So he wanted no one to speak that he has done something. He didn't want to hear that because he was fixed that whatever I have done, everything belonged already to my spiritual master. Right? Therefore, I have honestly given him his service. It already belonged to him. Right? So didn't want to take any credit. Right? Very, very great. Similar here, Prithu Maharaj. He doesn't want to take any credit, all he wants to give everything, but he considers that everything anyway belongs to you. 44. Pranadhara Suta Brahman Grihascha Sa Parichada Rajyam Balam Mahikosha Ti Saravam Niveditam.
The king continued, therefore, my dear Brahmanas, my life, wife, children, home, furniture, and household paraphernalia, my kingdom, strength, land, and especially my treasury are all offered unto you.
Okay, so, pranadhara suta brahman grihascha sa parichada. So, everything I have is offered to you. So, Prabhupada points out few things. First of all, this is prana dara, wife. Right? There are some readings of Bhagavatam where dara is raya. Raya means wealth. So in India, there are still many people, wealthy people, who are having the surname of Rai. Right? Rai means they are like wealthy people. So Prabhupada says raya is a more appropriate reading because, you know, what is the point of offering a wife to the brahmanas? Right? They are anyway celebrate and also all that. So it's not a very permitted offering to offer one wife also. So you can offer all the wealth. So having said anyway that then Rajyam Balam Mahi Kosha. You see the reading, especially my treasury. See if you offer the entire kingdom, will the treasury not come within? So Prabhupada said there used to be a private treasury. It's like a president has his own relief fund. One could be like a government money he has. But there is a separate fund which he has a personal control over, right? Emergency fund. So the kings used to always keep some Ratna Bhan mentioned in the purport, which is a private treasury. And Prithu Maharaj, he wanted to offer everything including that private treasury also, okay, to the Kumaras. Now again the point if someone says, but if everything belonged to Brahmanas, how it can be technically offered again to them? Right. So therefore, Sridhar Swami, towards the end of the Prabhupada, he explained that it's just like a servant offering the food to his master. Right? The food only belongs to the master, but the servants prepare it nicely and everything, and he offers back to the master. So in this way, Prithu Maharaj in that mood is offering everything to the Kumaras. 45. Senapatyam cha rajyam cha.
Dandanetrittvameva cha.
Sarvalokadhipatyam cha. Vedashastra vidarhati.
Since only a person who is completely educated according to the principles of Vedic knowledge deserves to be commander in chief, ruler of the state, the first to chastise and the proprietor of the whole planet, Prithu Maharaj offered everything to the Kumaras.
Okay, so now Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, the question may be raised that what will a Brahmana do with kingdom, armies and so many things? Senapatyam, you are the now Senapatyam, Dandanetrattvam, Sarvalokadhipatyam, everything, right? You want to offer to them. But what will the Brahmana do with all the armies? Right? You don't want to command the armies and all that. So therefore, again very beautifully explained that Prithu Maharaj is saying, you should accept everything so that I may get the benefit of giving everything to you all. Right? And Prabhupada explains that actually we should know that when the disciples, they offer services to spiritual master, the spiritual master, he says, is not the enjoyer of facilities. He only accepts so that the disciples may get benefited. So whenever we get to offer service to spiritual master or senior, you know, disciples of Prabhupada or senior Vaishnavas, we should feel that they are doing favor by accepting service. That should be the mood. Right? That should be the mood that they have accepted my service, it's such a great favor. I got the benefit of offering service. Although they are satisfied, they don't need my service. Right? Similarly, Prabhupada would gratefully accept all the services for the disciples' benefit. Right? Otherwise, when he was a new Vrindavan, he would simply take lota and live in a very simple, bare way, right? And go for nature's call and live very simply, extremely simply, right? But he would accept all the private garden in Los Angeles, wonderful quarters and so many facilities offered just so that the disciples will get the benefit. So that is important point. So the person who receives the service, he should be grateful. But more grateful should be the person who offers the service, actually. Because other person accepted the service. Right? And he got the credit of doing service. Okay, so therefore, another point which is made is, actually, he's saying, a person who is Veda Shastra Vid, he only deserves to be the Senapatyam, the Commander-in-Chief. He only should decide what danda should be given. Sarvalokadhipatyam, right? He's the ruler of all the people, ruler of the state. Person who is Veda Shastra Vid Arhati. Right? A person who knows the purport of Vedic literature. Therefore, he's saying, you deserve to be the real master. Right? So two things. First of all, one thing is administrator should actually completely consider himself to be the representative. Right? He should feel that actually I am going to rule as per the direction of Brahmanas, the state. I am going to do punishment as per the direction of the Brahmanas. Right? So in this way, If he considers himself just to be the servant or the representative of the Brahmanas, then the Brahmanas are the real rulers, and that's how it should be. Although they are not in forefront, but they should be actually ruling and deciding what should happen in the kingdom. Right? Prabhupada even says that all the wealth of the state belong to Brahmanas, The king has no right to give in charity. So Brahmana should say, here you should give charity, and they should immediately. Brahmana should make a temple, they should bring all the wealth, Prabhupada says. Right? So they don't even have the right to give any independent charity. Everything, Brahmanas are the proprietor in every sense. They are the rulers in every sense. And the kingdom is supposed to just carry out their instruction as their humble servant. It's a very... in the purport, if you see, all the statements of Prabhupada are very beautifully highlighted. Right? It's like I'll just read. And the first paragraph, last line, the king, president or head of the state should always remember that he is not the proprietor but the servant. And then if you see, and also Prabhupada talks of dialectical communism by Karl Marx in the third paragraph. Right? And he says, according to Vedic communism, no one in the state should ever starve. Right? And in the end of the same paragraph, he says, the Supreme Lord supplies the necessity of life to everyone, and there is no question of starvation. If anyone starves, it is due to mismanagement, the so-called ruler. Right? So by the Lord's management, everything is provided. By our mismanagement, we create starvation. Swameva brahmano bhunkte samvaste sam dadati cha tasyevanu grahenannam munjate kshatriyadaya.
The Kshatriyas, Vaisyas and Sudras eat their food by virtue of the Brahmana's mercy. It is the Brahmanas who enjoy their own property, clothe themselves and with their own property and give charity with their own property.
Okay, so sum eva brahmano bhunkte, right? So it may be like that Brahmanas, they beg alms and eat, but here Prithu Maharaj is saying, no, they eat their own food. Som vaste, som dadati cha. They wear their own clothing. In fact, they are giving charity to everyone. In fact, grastas and kshatriyas are being maintained by them. Right? Or the kshatriyas and the vaishyas are being maintained by them. Everything belongs to them. And it is the whatever kshatriyas and the vaishyas have, it is given by the brahmanas. Right? Quite a...
Is this a subjective statement made by Prithu or is it a... Sometimes you glorify, you can also add a little in this
thing. That should be the mood of Kshatriya. Right? Herein that everything belongs to the Brahmanas or the Vaishnavas. Right? So that's like the mood. In general, as you understand that how the Kshatriyas collect money and all that, they give charity, they maintain Brahmanas, right, in the sociological context. Right? But in a more, the higher spiritual context, right, when a person is serving and he recognizes that the Brahmanas are representatives of the Lord, right, so therefore he considers them to be the proprietor.
So here actually that Prithu Maharaj got all the kingdom by mercy of Brahmana, that's why he is thinking that humility and expressing that all the...
Yeah, he got by the mercy of Brahmanas and everyone else gets everything, Prithu Maharaj is saying, by the mercy of Brahmanas only.
You can generalize also.
Yeah, he is saying that. Right? He is a Brahmana who enjoys their own property, everything. So I'll read certain things. You see the line number 8. Since Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are direct servants of the Supreme Personality of God, right? So it's a higher spiritual perspective. So there could be like a sociological perspective. We have read that how Kshatriyas, they are proprietors and all that, they maintain. But a higher perspective, spiritual perspective is given. Since Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are direct servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they do not depend upon others. In actuality, everything in the world belongs to the Brahmanas. Okay, just see. In actuality, everything in the world belongs to Brahmanas. And out of their humility, the Brahmanas accept charity from the Kshatriyas. This is how every Kshatriya should think, that they are only accepting charity, begging, out of the humility. Actually, everything belongs to them because they are servants of the Lord. And then everything belongs to the Brahmanas. Again, Prabhupada says, you see, everything belongs to the Brahmanas, but the Kshatriya government and mercantile people keep everything in custody like bankers. And whenever the Brahmanas need money, the Kshatriya and Vaishya should supply it. Right? So they are only keeping custody. The bank cannot ask, hey, bhai, aaj itna paisa kyun nikalwa rahe ho? Right? So if they say, bring this much money, the bank has to produce. There is a no. Huh? Otherwise you can change the bank, right? Or whatever. So Prabhupada is saying that Kshatriya and Vaishya should immediately produce whatever the Brahmanas say. Like that. Again Prabhupada says, right? Not once, twice, three, four times he repeats everything belongs to the Brahmanas. You go ahead four for line, again he says, actually the Brahmanas or Vaishnavas do not live at others' cost. They live by spending their own money. Although it appears that they are collecting this money from others. Kshatriyas and Vaishyas have no right to give charity, for whatever they possess belong to Brahmanas. Right? Som vaste, som dadati cha. Again he says, the second line of this verse, reading second paragraph, indicate that Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras eat only by the virtue of the Brahmanas' mercy. In other words, they should not eat anything which is forbidden by the Brahmanas. Right? So that should be the mood of Kshatriyas basically. It's not that the Brahmanas think that they are the lords. That is not the point. Right? The Brahmanas, they should remain like beggars only in one sense. Right? But in the right mood of the administrator. Because ultimately everything belongs to the Supreme Lord, right? We only bring paper that is on my name, his name, and the name keeps changing on the papers. The papers keep changing and the names keep changing. The property is there and the proprietor is the Supreme Lord. Right? And because the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are their servants, so they have the first right to use it. So from that perspective, we can understand this. Okay, so one of the most famous verse printed in the introduction of Bhagavad Subodhini, verse 47, 4:22-47. Yaridrushi Bhagavato Gatiratma Vada
Yaridrushi Bhagavato Gatiratma Vada
Ekantato Nigamabhi Pratipaditana
Ekantato Nigamabhi Pratipaditana
Tushyantu Adhpragaruna Sukritena Nityam
Tushyantu Adhpragaruna Sukritena Nityam
Konama Tatpratikaroti Vinodapatram
Konama Tatpratikaroti Vinodapatram.
Prithu Maharaj continued, how can such persons who have rendered unlimited service by explaining the path of self-realization in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and whose explanations are given for our enlightenment with complete conviction and Vedic evidence be repaid except by folded palms containing water for their satisfaction? Such great personalities can be satisfied only by their own activities, which are distributed amongst human society out of their unlimited mercy.
Okay, Jai Idrishi Bhagavato Gatiratma Vada. Right? So Idrishi means this kind of, right? The instruction which they gave. So those who gave such beautiful instructions, right, concerning the paths, Atma Vada, Bhagavata, concerning showing the path of self-realization, right, leading to the personality of Godhead. Right? So, Yari Drishi Bhagavato Gatir, those who have shown this path, right, of self-realization leading to Krishna consciousness or leading to God realization, Ekantato, right, Nigamabhi, Kandudu means they have shown everything completely, they have given to all understanding, supported by all the Vedic evidences, right? Nigama bhi, Nigam Shastra, or Vedic Shastra. Pratipaditana, and they have conclusively established the. Then tushantu adbra karuna sukritena nityam. Right? So there he is saying, how can we repay them? They have to be satisfied with their own activities. Right? Who can actually repay them? Pratikaroti. Ko naam tat pratikaroti. Who can repay them? Who can offer something to them back as a gratitude? We cannot repay the gratitude. Right? And their own glorious activities are their reward, kind of. Right? So, if someone says, no, but I think we can repay. If I can, someone should be able to repay. Therefore, it says, ko naam atat pratikaroti. Who is there? Tell. Kaun hai jo repay kar sakta? Naam batao uska. It's kind of ko naam. Right? Who is that specific person and who can repay? He is saying, Virodha Patram, just to think of this idea that someone can repay, it's a big joke. So there are two meanings of Virodha Patram. One is, one can only just stand with folded hands, right? And they some water in there, offer some water. Udha Patram means offering a water in their cupped hand. Right? That means show some respect to them with folded hands. And only thing what can do, no one can repay. And if someone thinks he can repay, then he is actually Vinoda Patram, means the subject matter of joke. So that would be like the biggest joke in that sense. In the two senses the word is used, ko naam atat pratikaroti. You see, there is another verse in the first canto, 1:18-14 verse, ko naam atripe rasavit kathayam. Who can be fully satisfied? Or is the rasavit, who knows the science of rasa, how can he be completely satisfied by hearing Mahattam Ekant Parayanasya? Ko naam means again, someone says, oh, but I think someone can be satisfied. Then tell the name of that person. So no one can be the meaning is no one can actually be fully, no one can fully repay the gratitude, no one can be fully satisfied by hearing the topics of Krishna and so on. So again, this is a very beautiful sentiment. Even Krishna tells that I cannot repay. Na pareham nirvadya samyujam. Na pareham. I cannot repay the debt. You have rendered so much service, I cannot repay even in the lifetime of Brahma. Nirvadya samyujam. Nirvadya means you have without any duplicity, you have served me. Na pareham nirvadya samyujam. So sadhu krittam budayushapiva. Even in the light of Brahma, I cannot repay. Why? Because you have given up everything and worshipped me. So samvrishya tadva pratiyati sadhuna. So therefore your own glorious deeds be your payment. So the same thing within that verse, na pareham. It is 10:32-22. Na pareham. Very famous verse. Krishna says, I cannot repay the gratitude. 10:32-22. So, actually, we should cultivate the gratitude. Right? This is a very important quality. He said that actually the Lord has given us many, many blessings. But we will realize those blessings in our life only by gratitude. Krishna has blessed us unlimitedly. But to the degree we have gratitude, the degree we will realize. To that degree we will be able to count our blessings and realize that how much we have been blessed. Okay? So that's a... That's about the gratitude, right? And so a devotee should feel increasing gratitude, right? And Prabhupada was saying that how when we sing Guru Puja, a devotee's heart should be filled with gratitude while singing Guru Puja, right? Sing the Guru Puja. He has given us Chakshudan, Diloje, Janme Janme, that I am, birth after birth I am a servant. I cannot repay in all the births, right? The mercy which the spiritual master has shown. So like that. Right? So this quality is to be cultivated, actually. And there is a verse which says that the devotional service becomes easy to a person who has gratitude. So devotional service is difficult to perform for an ungrateful person, but it's easy to perform for a grateful person. Right? So devotional service, so that there are words used. I don't remember that there are terms used that how. Yeah. That devotional service is sukharadhyam. The term used is sukharadhyam. Sukharadhyam. Those one is kritagya for devotional service, sukharadhyam, joyfully performed. And duraradhyam asadubhi. Very difficult devotional service for asadubhi. Asadubhi, we can understand here, is one is ungrateful. Like that. So therefore, this verse talks about gratitude.
3.19.36.
Tam sukharadhyam. Yes.
Kritanya
kona seveta. So the word sukharadhyam, duraradhyam and asadubhi and kritagya words are used. So you can see this verse. And so this quality is very... So especially, you know, we just celebrated 50th year of ISKCON, right? So we should increase our gratitude towards Prabhupada, right? By hearing about him, reading how he sacrificed so much, right? So each devotee actually has to feel increasing gratitude towards Prabhupada especially, right? That is like one of the meditation we should have, right? We have completed 50th of ISKCON. How can we become, how can we feel more and more grateful to what Prabhupada has done for us. Right? Of course, not just to Prabhupada, one should feel gratitude towards anyone who has done anything for us. Right? You see the elder Brahmana in the story in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, if I don't show my gratitude, I'll become sinful. And he said, I must show my gratitude to you, have done so much for me, to the younger Brahmana. Right? If I do not show my gratitude, I will actually be sinful. I will become a sadhuhi. I will become like a pseudo devotee. I will something like that, a sadhuhi. So gratitude is a very important quality which is highlighted over here. In. Can you read the second paragraph? Okay, let me read the first four lines and then read the entire second paragraph. First four lines of the purport.
Great personalities of the material world are very eager to render welfare service to human society. But actually, no one can render better service than one who distributes the knowledge of spiritual realization in relation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All living entities are within the clutches of illusory energy, forgetting their real identity. They hover in material existence, transmigrating from one body to another in search of a peaceful life. Since these living entities have...
No. Just first four lines, first paragraph. Now second, read the second.
Knowledge of Krishna is such a great gift that it is impossible to repay the benefactor. Therefore, Prithu Maharaj requested the Kumaras to be satisfied by their own benevolent activities in delivering souls from the clutches of Maya. The king saw that there was no other way to satisfy them for their exalted activities. The word Vinodapatram can be divided into two words, Vina and Udapatram, or can be understood as one word, Vinodapatram, which means joker. A joker's activity simply arouses laughter, and a person who tries to repay spiritual master or teacher of the transcendental message of Krishna become a laughing stock, just like a joker, because it is not possible to repay such a debt. the best friend and benefactor of all people is one who awakens humanity to its original Krishna consciousness.
Okay, so vina udpatram means what else we can do? Except vina, we can just have some water in the folded hand and show our gratitude. And then vinodapatram, right? So that is also explained in the purport. Even see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right? He tells Balabhadra Bhattacharya, right? Tumiya maya ni dekhaila vrindavan ehi rena ami nariba karite shodan, right? You have brought me to Vrindavan and showed me Vrindavan. I will not be able to repay this debt. I was thinking, who brought whom to Vrindavan? Mahaprabhu was anyway coming to Vrindavan. The devotees told you accompany and serve him. Right? The devotees sent Balabhadra Bhattacharya to serve the Lord. Lord was anyway coming to Vrindavan. So he could come to Vrindavan because of the Lord. But the Lord is saying, oh, you brought me to Vrindavan. You showed me Vrindavan. How will I repay your debt? Right? But Balabhadra Bhattacharya, Lord is saying, can you imagine? Right. The Lord is saying. So just contemplate upon the statement of the Lord Himself, who is telling His personal servant, you brought me to Vrindavan. Right. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna Himself. Right. Vrindavan is His dham. Right. Can you imagine someone, driver brings a big, you know, multi-millionaire into his bungalow? And the multimillionaire says, oh, you have brought me to this bungalow. The car belongs to the, you know, the multimillionaire person. The bungalow belongs to him. But he says, you have brought me here. I cannot repay the debt. Can you imagine something like that? So, but the Lord feels, because He assisted him, He served him. Right? The Lord felt gratitude towards His own servant. Like that. So anyway, there are many stories and examples that will proceed ahead. So here ends, so these verses shows the heart of Pithu Maharaj, right? How magnanimous, how grateful, or how broad-minded, right, is Pithu Maharaj. So the magnanimity of Prithu Maharaj comes out from his words in this series of verses. Seven verses, 41 to 47. Maitreya Uvacha, Tvatma Yoga Pataya, Adi Rajena Pujita, Shilam Tadiyam Samshanta, He Bhavan Mishatam Dhanam.
The great sage Maitreya continued, being thus worshipped by Maharaj Prithu, the four Kumaras, who were masters of devotional service, become very pleased. Indeed, they appeared in the sky and praised the character of king, and everyone observed them.
So they were very pleased by the words of king, his worship, and that they appeared in the sky and everyone could see them. Right? So Nanda Prabhupada says that usually the demigod never touch the surface of the earth, they walk only in space. Like the great sages Narada, the Kumaras do not require any machine to travel in space. They are like Siddhas. And Prabhupada says, such great saintly persons are not visible nowadays on earth because the humanity is not worthy of their presence. Prabhupada says, the humanity is not worthy of their presence. Therefore, they are not visible. But because of Prithu Maharaj's greatness, even common citizens could see them. Vanyastu Dhuryo Mahatam Samsitya Dhyatma Shikshaya Aptakamam Mivatmanam Mir Atmanne Vastitaha.
Amongst great personalities, Maharaj Prithu was the chief by virtue of his fixed position in relation to the spiritual enlightenment. He remained satisfied as one who has achieved all success in spiritual understanding.
Yes. During the night, His Holiness Thapa Krishna Goswami, he told me to stay up and by Prabhupada's room and protect him from everyone who wants to come without appointment. And then during the night, there was only the sound of jackals sometimes. And then I will see Prabhupada, he was translating the scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. And I will wait in the morning, he will go down and go around Radha Madhava and ring the bell. Also in Calcutta. And in Calcutta, in fact, when I was a chokidar in the temple, you know, near Hindi High School in Calcutta, and then Albert Road, and then one day his servant had gone to the kitchen. It was 1977. So his servant, he had gone to the kitchen to bring some food because Prabhupada was taking his food. And then suddenly I heard the bell ringing. Didn't ring. Prabhupada was requesting some service, someone to serve him. He was ringing the bell. And I said to myself, wow. I was not supposed to go inside, but I said, wow, Prabhupada is ringing the bell. He's alone inside the room. Then I said, it's my chance, you know. I went inside the room and I paid my obeisances. And his hand, he had some khichdi in his hand. He was waiting for some more prasad. And then some chapati, I think. And then he looked at me and he said, please carry me to the bathroom. Because his body, this was the last year of his pastime in this world. So I came and I took him like this. And we walked through the room. And then he washed his hand and went to pass. He wanted to pass water. And then he talked to me and he said, go back to the room and see that they don't take away my plate because I haven't finished. Yes. And then immediately the servant came. And he said, what are you doing in Prabhupada's room? And I said, no, I heard the bell, Maharaj. And then I came inside the room. And then he said, okay, you wait outside.
Who was the servant that time?
This was Babananda.
Oh.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
We have to thank Prameshwar Prabhu has come here. Let us welcome him.
Hare Krishna.
And then in Paris I was a driver also. Because my business in Paris was a limousine service. I had big cars. I was working in a company, they had big, nice cars. And the devotee, they told me, maybe you can arrange for a car because Prabhupada is coming next week. He's going to come to Paris and visit New Mayapur. This is a farm in France. And then I went to visit my boss, my previous boss. At that time I was already in the movement, I was brahmachari. And then I told my boss that a holy man is coming from India, and he was a pious Christian, you know, he was a Russian Orthodox. He had moved to Paris after the revolution in Russia. And then he told me, yes, you can take our best limousine that we use for weddings. Very nice, long, Mercedes-Benz, very luxurious inside, you know. And then I said, but how much will it cost? Very costly, 1 week of this car. And then he told me, no, you just pay for the petrol, that's all. And then we went to the airport, we washed the car, you know, with eucalyptus oil, rose water. And then we went to the airport, and then Prabhupada arrived, and big reception at the airport with flowers, the ladies, Mataji, throwing flowers all over. And then Prabhupada came to the car, and he sat down and with a servant, and then we started to drive to Paris with Prabhupada.
First I thought he was Hanumanji, you know. I thought, because I had seen movies of him, and I thought, because before I was a hippie, I came to India, and I worshipped Hanumanji and Sitaram, and I gave him the name Ram Dass. But Prabhupada changed it to Radhishwar. But then, after Prabhupada, he said, why you spend so much money for a car like this? And then we explained to him that it was offered by this gentleman, and we just had to pay petrol for it. And then I looked in the mirror, and I saw Prabhupada, he was saying, very good, very good. She will buy the key.
Yes!
This shows Prabhupada, he has such great love for Prabhupada. No, no. The moment anybody reminds of Prabhupada, so many things
only little service in Prabhupada saves with your life. Because if I had not met Prabhupada, I would be, now I would be with four legs and hairs all over my body. You know, this is sure. But Prabhupada saved me, you know. All my life he was giving his hand and said,
now only gratitude.
I am your father. You know, what are you doing in the material world? Come. You know, and then suddenly now I am very happy because he said chant and be happy. And this works, you know. You chant and you become happy. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. And then Mataji from New Vrindavan, Sahasrasa, and Prabhuji's daughter.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, these are all students who are doing 2 year course in the Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We hold a year class and we study Bhagavatam.
Bravo.
This is Damodar Prabhu, our teacher in charge. Would you like the prasadam today?
Yes, very much.
And his assistants, the whole team.
Very tasty. For Ekadashi. Yes. Hare Krishna.
Your talk was even better than the class. more sweeter. Hare Krishna. Thank you. We are blessed by your presence.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna. You're just speaking about gratitude. You're just speaking about gratitude.
Prabhu, how he expressed so much gratitude to Prabhupada, right? He's saying, Prabhupada saved me. Now, right? So actually, very, like someone after practicing life of Krishna consciousness, they say, I am so happy. Right? He said, I am so happy. Right? It's actually a big thing, actually a big achievement. Someone is gone after spending 30, 40 years can say, I'm so happy now. Right? It's a big achievement. Right? That means, you know, gratitude, you always remain grateful to Prabhupada. Right? That's how. Sukharadhyam, happiness by being grateful. So, we got a light demonstration of what we were discussing. Okay, so we already decided the verse.
Yeah.
Manyastu dhuryo mahatam. Dhuryo mahatam means he was the chief among all the mahatmas. Vanyam is the son of Vena. So Prithu Maharaj was dhurya mahatam. Samstitya adhyatma shikshaya. Being completely fixed in the matters of self-realization. Apta kamam iva atmanam mene atmanne avasthita. So he remained satisfied as one who has achieved all success in spiritual understanding. Apta kamam iva atmanam. So this is something very important. So Vishwanatha gives a beautiful insight. He says, Prithu Maharaj was as if, eva means as if satisfied. Okay? So he received the Atma Tattva Jnana, the knowledge of Self-Realization, and he, as if he felt satisfied. Meaning what? Actually he was already fixed in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. Right? So therefore he was as if satisfied, means he did his duty of spiritual inquiry. Right? And he received the knowledge of self-realization as if he was satisfied, showing that he was actually in his previous position, being fixed in the service of the Lord, he was actually completely satisfied. This receiving teachings from saintly persons, respecting them, he did as a matter of his duty, as a matter of his duty to show examples to others. So, how we should understand again, Prithu Maharaj, who is the chief among the great souls, Dhurya Mahatam, considered himself almost satisfied, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, considered himself almost satisfied by the teachings on Atma, right, this is Atma Gyan, but actually he remained fixed in his nature of pure bhakti. So therefore, therefore all this, the spiritual discourse of Sanat Kumar and Prithu Maharaj receiving it, primarily is out of duty and for the well-being of the citizens. He himself is actually purely situated. Right? So all that they gave the Atma Gyan, Prithu Maharaj was already on a higher platform of what they actually spoke. Except the last two verses were like propounding the pure devotional service, but all that they spoke before Atma Gyan, Prithu Maharaj was therefore as if satisfied, because he had greater satisfaction in his original position of pure bhakti. You're getting the point? Right? So he was already fixed, he was already having a higher realization, he was already fixed as a servant of the Lord, which gave him more satisfaction anyway. But this Gyan, therefore satisfied, as if satisfied. Mm. Okay. So he was satisfied that he has done the duty of a king to show how one should inquire into the self-realization. Right? So the people in general, so that was the satisfaction. Right? But in general, he had a higher satisfaction in being fixed as in his own original nature of being servant of the Lord. Okay. So he was already fixed in a higher realization than what was spoken. Okay? So that is like something quite insightful. Okay? This is the stamp given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So Prabhupada just says that King Prithu's statement in previous verses regarding his vast knowledge and perfect devotional service are justified here, for he is considered the best among Mahatmas. Text 15. Karmani cha yatha kalam,
Siddhadesham
yatha
balam,
यथोचितं यथा वित्तं
अकरोत्
ब्रह्म सात्कृतं.
Being self-satisfied, Maharaj Prithu executed his duties as perfectly as possible according to the time and his situation, strength and financial position. His only aim in all his activities was to satisfy the absolute truth. In this way, he duly acted.
Okay. So he, Prithu Maharaj, he did not just perform pure devotional service to the Lord, which he did anyway, but he also performed his Swadharma. Karmani cha yatha kalam, he performed his Swadharma, various karmas, as was appropriate according to the kal, desha, balam and whatever was uchitam, what was befitting, that could be patra and yathavittam, also according to the money to be spent. There is many, all these considerations are there, kala, desh,
Balam refers to not just physical strength, but also, you know, strength of people. Right? One has army, that is also like Balam, and so on. So whatever the strength he possessed, sorry?
Ability
also, Balam could refer to his abilities, the power of his mind, intelligence, senses, and the forces are also known as Balam. In this way, there are various considerations mentioned. According to all these considerations, right, balancing them, what is the suitable karma to be performed, activity to be performed, as per the time, desha, kala, patra, and bala, vitta, and so on. What is appropriate to be done, he did everything. So, one important thing we understand is that although a pure devotee may give up his sodharma, taktva sodharmam charanam bhujam hare, right? And there is no loss. But usually the pure devotees do not give up their sodharma. Why? Because, for what reason?
To set
good examples. Usually they do not give their sodharma. Set good example. Any other reason?
Criticism for
people may criticize you doing
sodharma and
suggesting
sodharma and
okay, people may criticize, yes. Out of humility.
Out of humility also.
Also,
they consider themselves to be within Varnashrama. Mm-hmm. They don't consider themselves to be above Varnashrama, out of humility.
And also not so to show to others, to hide the fear of thieves, internally cultivate the
bhakti. Okay. Right. So this is, so Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives 4 points. Although pure devotees who are transcendental to Sodharma, Varnashrama Dharma, they still perform Varnashrama Dharma for 4 reasons, to teach the people in general. Then to avoid the lapses in the following of Varnashrama. Lapse means the gap. You know, someone is not following, then there is a gap comes. Oh, so people may take a wrong example. One is to teach to follow. Other thing is not to give a break in the following. Right? Not to give a lapse the following of Varnashrama. Then third is to avoid criticism on the path of bhakti. So that people may criticize, oh, bhakti log Hare Krishna, kuch dharam karam ka to kaam karte nahi ye log. सिर्फ हरे कृष्ण जपते रहते हैं, right? So people may criticize some activities which are recommended by Varnashrama, right? And that may be performed. So, and then 4th reason is to hide pure bhakti because it is confidential. And this reason is again a little esoteric reason. Why? Because devotees do not like to, out of their humility and out of the Lord's desire also. Right? The Lord's desire that the bhakti be kept confidential. One should not show that one is a great devotee. One should not manifest the symptom of being a great devotee. Right? If you see that many devotees, they have to conceal their symptom of when they express some, they feel some great surge of love, they try to conceal it. Right? Because they want to keep they want to hide the nature of pure bhakti. Why they want to hide? Because those who are not qualified, they should not, it creates disturbance. When unqualified people receive something beyond their qualification, it creates disturbance in the realm of pure devotional service. Right? This Siddhant will come in the future also, and it may be discussed in greater elaborate detail. So therefore, many portions of Srimad Bhagavatam and the Vedas, there is a lot of indirect way they talk. They conceal pure bhakti. There are dual meanings of many, many statements we will find in the scriptures. One is the deeper meaning, one is the outer meaning. So the outer meaning is the face meaning, so that nature of pure bhakti can be concealed. There is a deeper meaning in the scriptures to hide them from the unqualified people. When unqualified people receive the knowledge, it only creates disturbance, which is beyond their capacity to handle. So that's another purpose. He performed all the, he acted like, you know, that he is very well within the Varnashrama and he has to perform all the duties because he wants to conceal his pure bhakti. Pure bhakti is very confidential. So for these 4 reasons. Okay, and Prabhupada, no, there are two meanings of akarod brahma satkritam. So he does all these ordinary activities. Akarod means perform. Brahma satkritam, two meaning. First meaning is he dedicated everything to the Supreme Lord, okay, for his pleasure. And Prabhupada gives a very brilliant purport to that understanding. Can you read the last 10-12 lines beginning with, a pure devotee's activities may appear like ordinary activities.
A pure devotee's activities may appear like ordinary activities, but behind them there is a profound significance, the satisfaction of the Lord. In order to understand the activities of a Vaishnava, one has to become very expert. Maharaj Prithu did not allow himself to function outside the institution of four varnas and four ashramas. Although as a Vaishnava he was a Paramahansa, transcendental to all material activities, he remained at his position as a Kshatriya, ruled the world, and at the same time remained transcendental to such activities by satisfying the Supreme Personality Godhead.
Okay, right. So, Prabhupada is saying, behind all the activities of the devotee, there is a profound significance. What is the profound significance? A devotee may be, you know, working in a garden, on a field, and there may be so many people, gardeners are working in a garden, farmers may be working in a field, give one example. But there is a profound significance behind the activity of devotees, that is the satisfaction of the Lord. The satisfaction of the Lord. So, there are 100,000 of court cases going on. Devotees may also be going to the court sometime. Right? So, Prabhupada, when he was fighting for Juhu land, almost all his disciples thought that Prabhupada, it's like irrational, illogical to fight for this. They kind of got some kind of mentality that Prabhupada got an ego conflict with Mr. N. You know, he wanted to usurp the land, and he didn't want to give. Prabhupada just wanted to have an ego conflict. This land is useless. Prabhupada landed into some kind of ego conflict. Why is so much bent on acquiring Juhu land? Most senior disciples of Prabhupada, they couldn't understand, absolutely. They only thought that is worthless land. The whole fight is not worthy of it. Right? And we should give up. They cancelled the deed. And so on, right? Prabhupada was the only one who didn't give up. Right? Why? Because there was a profound significance which no one could understand. He had promised the deity that I will build a nice temple for you. You please come here. Like that. Right? So there is satisfaction of the Lord. He is fighting just like ordinary people fight, right, for the property and so on. But even up to the court case and so many things, using all the tactics also. But there is a profound significance, which is the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, right, which no one can understand. Right? So therefore, in order to understand the activities of Vaishnava, one has to become very expert. Therefore, although the ordinary activity seems to be ordinary, only a person who is very expert can understand the activities of pure devotees, right? Like Prithu Maharaj here and Srila Prabhupada. Again, Prabhupada says, Prithu Maharaj did not allow himself to function outside the institution of Varnashrama, although he is a Paramhamsa. The Paramhamsas also, they consider themselves to be within Varnashrama and act as per the duty of Varnashrama. Right? So we are small amshas, right? They are Paramhamsas. We are small parts. We must follow all the rules and regulations. Right? We should try to harmonize it. All the duties of Varnashrama with pure devotional service. If something is conflicting, then we can, under the guidance of the senior, we may not follow something which directly conflicts. Right? But most of the Varnashrama duties can be, or general duties can be harmonized. They do not conflict with the activities of pure devotional service in general. So that's another akarod brahma satkritam. So that is a very beautiful understanding. And Vishwanathika Thakur says, akarod brahma satkritam, Vishwanathika Thakur says that he performed the activities thinking that the brahmanas are acting. What does that mean? The brahmanas are acting, that I am doing this service on the behalf of Brahmanas under their instructions. So therefore, it is they who are acting that way. As their instrument, right? Kind of this understanding. Akroth Brahma Satkarjana, as simply their instrument, they are only managing the kingdom, they are only making sure that the governance goes proper, right? So that way, as their instrument, he acts. Okay, so we can take a break, 10 minutes, and we will resume. 51. So Maitreya Rishi is speaking all these verses to glorify Prithu Maharaj. 51. Palam Brahmani Sanyasya Nirvisangaha Samahitaha Karma Dhyaksham Chamanvana Atmanam Prakrite Param.
Maharaj Prithu completely dedicated himself to be an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, transcendental to material nature. Consequently, all the fruits of his activities were dedicated to the Lord, and he always thought of himself as the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the proprietor of everything.
Okay, so Phalam Brahmani Sanyasya, right? Offering the results of his work to the Supreme Lord. Nirvisanga Samahita, he was unattached, but Samahita means he was dedicated. In a detached way, he was completely dedicated. Okay? If someone says he is detached, that means he doesn't have to bother anything now. Detached means now you don't, you know, put your energy into it, work hard for it. Said, "Abhi main detach ho gaya hoon kitchen se." Like, like people say, now I don't no longer go and, you know, serve. Right? But Nirvisanga Samahita, completely still dedicated to performing all the activities, but there is no attachment either to those activities or to the results. Right? And in this way, he recognizing the Supreme Lord, Atmanam Prakriti Param, who is the controller of Prakriti. Right? So dedicating all the activities to him. Or thinking always of him, he performed all the various activities in a detached way. So again, Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport. The life and dedication of Prithu Maharaj in the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead serve as a good example of Karma Yoga. Right? So these activities which he performed serve as a good example of Karma Yoga. Was he Karma Yogi? He was actually a Bhakti Yogi. Right? Why he was not a Karma Yogi?
He was not attached to the neither the work nor the results.
Yeah, so Karma Yogi is actually attached to karma, but he gives up the results. Maharaj Prithu performed all the activities just to show example for others. Right? Mm-hmm. So he was not attached to either karma or even to the fruits, both. So therefore, he is actually Bhakti Yogi. His main attachment was to hearing and chanting, right? Glorifying the Lord. But he set the example of a Karma Yogi. A good example. So Prabhupada says the first requirement for the proper execution of Karma Yoga is given herein. Phalam Brahmani Sanyasya. One must give the fruits of his activities to the Supreme Brahman, Parabrahman, Krishna. Right? Actually, we may talk of that Karma Yoga is not very higher or so, but to give up the fruits of activities is actually very difficult. Okay? Even in our devotional activities, we can't give up the fruits, right? We want to see that, right, we get the results wherever we invest energy, right? Even every temple selects the projects based upon how quickly they can get the fruits of it, right? So therefore, if you see in this ISKCON history also, the best manpower was employed for book distribution, raising the projects, while Gurukuls were neglected. Right? Those who were not good for anything, chalo, you manage Gurukul. Right? Like, sometimes some certain services are not very fruitive, then we put the people who are not productive anywhere else. Right? You people manage these kind of services. So there is always a fruity mentality. Right? It's not easy to give up. Whenever we do anything, first we keep the fruit in mind. Right? Even in the all the spiritual activities, right? First keep the fruit in mind. I was recently distributing books, and our previous fourth batch of Vidyapeet is distributing books. This particular marathon, they all are gone out. So I was with one of them, and they were so disturbed because books were not going. Right? And books were actually, they were doing 150 Mahabooks book daily, but they were doing 300 three, four years back, when they were in BD, and they were doing Brahmachari training in the temple, right? It was like 3 years, 4 years back. That time they were distributing 250 to 300 books. Now they were only distributing somewhere 150. So half the score. So they were very disturbed. Right? Because that previous fruit which they got, right, the scores, they had a taste for that. So like one of them said, so I suggested, why don't you go to this place? He said, big risk. I said, risk? What is the risk? What if the score doesn't come? What if the books are not distributed? I said, but the Lord will be pleased anyway, you spend your, you know, gave your effort. So I could see that how there was a very strong attachment that score has to come. Right? The score has to come. Right? But I said, you be satisfied that you showed Bhagavad Gita, you talked about Krishna to so many people, you requested them to take Bhagavad Gita, they could see the book, they could actually think of Krishna once, of Bhagavad Gita, seeing the picture of Arjuna. Right? But nothing is satisfying. They wanted a score. Right? It's a fact. Right? So it's not easy to give up the fruits. It's quite a difficult thing to do.
The event was to the father. The platform is okay, but this was after the people. The event was to carry the work. Initial event was.
Yeah. Initial is okay. Initial is okay.
They announced the score.
Yeah, we announced the score. Right. Score for the pleasure of the deities. So, Prabhupada says actually the best way of doing karma yoga is what? One can just have a DD at home, and then whatever one is doing, while doing deity worship, he can offer, serve the deities nicely, then all these activities become actually karma yoga directly. Right? What all the material activities is performing, when they are connected to the deities, right? He serves the deities, take out his some time to serve the deities, offer him. Right? So, in this way, all the activities become karma yoga by deity worship. So, by this one application, the things are actually transformed. And Prabhupada also talks about Jivan Mukta in this purport. Towards the end, if one always, this last 10-12 lines, if one always remains the servant of Krishna and engages everything in his service, one is accepted as Jivan Mukta, liberated soul, even during this lifetime within the material world. Okay, so one, remember a person who is detached, like a coconut from his shell and so on, so that person is considered as Jivan Mukta. So Prithu Maharaj was a vivid example of Jivan Mukta. 52. Veheshu Vartamanopi. Sorry?
Having duties at home. Serving them.
Yes.
How is it coming by this? Maybe karma or something?
Because you earn money, your occupation, and then with your money you serve the deities. There are children, wife, they are also engaged in offering obeisances and some service to the deity. So your dhara, putra, graha becomes a temple, and with all the money, at least partly.
Yeah.
So, right? So they are the proprietors.
Maybe it's a Karma Yoga Bhakti
something. Karma Yoga is also yoga, means karma and bhakti are together. Right? A person is performing, he is performing various activities. Right? And then when the deities are there, all those activities turn into bhakti itself. Turn into bhakti by the application of bhakti. So that karma also becomes bhakti. But still the direct activities of the bhakti are superior, we had understood. These activities are having a mode of passion and so on, involved in passionate activities. But they are by the application of bhakti, which a person does to deities, so those activities also turn into bhakti. But the direct activity of devotional service is always superior. That we already Shravanam Kirtan. Like that. Griheshu Vartamanopi Na Samrajyesh Yanvitah Na Sajjit Indriyarteshu Niraham Mati Arkavat.
Maharaj Prithu, who was very opulent due to the prosperity of his entire empire, remained at home as a householder, since he was never inclined to utilize his opulences for the gratification of his senses. He remained unattached, exactly like the sun, which is unaffected in all circumstances.
Okay, so although he is in graha, he is at home, and surrounded by all the opulences, na sajjet indriyartheshu. Is again something. So a person is in the midst of all the opulences, beautiful wife and everything is there, but he is still unaffected. Right? He is still not involved in sense gratification. Right? So that, so Prabhupada says, Grahastha Ashram is a kind of a license for sense gratification. Prithu Maharaj was given that license, but he never utilized it. Right? You give someone kind of a credit card or something, you can find, you can withdraw money whenever you want, you don't have to pay or whatever, you know, give some facility, but a person doesn't utilize it, right, for sense gratification. So he had the license, but he never utilized it. So that is his greatness, na sajjit. It's difficult. One thing is, one doesn't have the sense objects and everything, you know, in ample, then one can remain free from it. One thing is to have all the sense objects, all the facilities for sense gratification, and still remain detached. That is even greater. That is even greater. Also, Prithu Maharaj is compared to sun. Sun is not just unaffected, but it affects the dirty places. It has a positive effect. It purifies the dirty places. Niraham mati narakavat. Evam adhyatma yogena karmanne अनुसमाचरन त्राण उत्पादयामास पंचार अर्चिष्य आत्मसम्मतान.
Being situated in this elevated position of devotional service, Prithu Maharaj not only performed all duty activities but also begot 5 sons by his wife Archi. Indeed, all his sons were begotten according to his own desire.
Okay, so Prabhupada says, how do we get sons as per one's desire is unknown to the people now. Right? So he begot as a grahastha for the future administration of the government, he begot the sons. Right? And it's mentioned that Prabhupada says that he had no agitation. There was no lust he had, absolutely. Right? He had no agitation without while begetting the sons. So therefore, he begot the sons, kind of sons he wanted, he begot. Right? Those who would be very righteous, who would rule with dharma and so on. Vijitashvam Dumrakesham Haryaksham Dravinam Vrikam Sarvesham Lokapalanam Dadareka Prithur Gunan.
After begetting 5 sons named Vijiswa, Dhrumakesu, Ryaksa, Dravina and Vrika, Prithu Maharaj continued to rule the planet. He accepted all the qualities of the deities who govern all other planets.
Prithu Maharaj was so powerful, Prabhupada says in the first paragraph end, that he could exhibit all the qualities of predominating deity in other planet. 55. Gopithaya jagat srishte kale sve sve achyutatmaka manovag vritti bhi somyer gune samranjayan prajaha.
Since Maharaj Prithu was a perfect devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he wanted to protect Lord's creation by pleasing various citizens according to their various desires. Therefore, Prithu Maharaj used to please them in all respects by his words, mentality, work and gentle behavior.
Okay, so Prithu Maharaj had extraordinary capacity to understand the mentality of others. Therefore, Prabhupada says his dealing was so perfect that every one of the citizens were very much satisfied and lived in complete peace. You could understand manovritti or vagvritti. A person is speaking something, what does he want? And sometimes a person may not express. So the manovritti, vagvritti, he could understand. So even Prabhupada could understand the mentality of all his disciples. Right? He could very perfectly, there are so many pastimes, he could understand. Just like one devotee brought a suitcase for Prabhupada, right? And he wanted the Prabhupada suitcase. Prabhupada had a white suitcase, so he wanted that, and he brought a nice little bigger and better quality suitcase, and said, Prabhupada, I brought this for you. Prabhupada took that suitcase, put his existing suitcase within that, and put it, and Prabhupada was very happy. So he was like, he thought, I will get the suitcase. Yeah. So then Prabhupada later asked, do you want this suitcase? Right? So Prabhupada understood. There are so many pastimes where Prabhupada said, you can ask for it then, right? You don't have to like play tricks sometimes. So Prabhupada could always understand the mentality. Right? Therefore, if you see, whenever the devotee would ask Prabhupada some question, he would not just address the intent of he would not just answer the content of the question, but also intent of the question. Intent means, what is their mind, what is their mentality behind the question. Right? So therefore, Prabhupada would offer, always answer both the content and the intent of the question, right? in his answers. Therefore, his answers, no one would be able to predict what Prabhupada would say. Because he would see the person, what is going on in his mind, and then answer. Right? So, manovag vritti bhi somya is one of the important qualities of a leader. He should be able to understand the mentality of the followers. He should be able to understand what they are saying. He should be able to read behind the words. Right? They are saying something, he should be able to see, read behind what. What do they mean? What is being expressed and what is not being expressed also. Therefore, he was a great leader, Prithu Maharaj. Chapter 6. Rajityadhan namidhyam namdhyam Rajiti adhan namdeyam Somaraja ivapara Suryavad visrajan granan Pratapamscha bhuvo vasu.
Maharaj Prithu became as celebrated as king as Somaraj, the king of moon. He was also powerful and exerting just like the sun god, who distributes heat and light, and at the same time he exerts the all planetary waters.
Okay, so Maharaj Prithu was like both the sun and the moon. So the sun gives heat and light, but the moon is pleasing at night. So therefore it shows that Prithu Maharaj have apparently contradictory qualities. Right? There are many, this is also the nature of the great leaders or the great souls, that they can have qualities which are quite contradictory. Right? Just like about it's mentioned, Mahanubhavera chittera swabhava ehai pushpa samakomala kathina vajramai. Those are great souls, Mahanubhavera chittera swabhava ehai. The nature of their nature is that they can be soft as a rose and hard as a thunderbolt. Right? If you see someone is very soft, he will remain soft only in this world. Right? He can't be very hard like a thunderbolt. And those who are hard like thunderbolt, they will always be hard. Even if they are soft, they are perceived as hard. They cannot act softly. Right? One cannot go on the other end of the spectrum and be very soft like a rose and also hard like a thunderbolt. But the pure devotees or the great leaders can display qualities which are on the extremes end of the spectrum. Right? Very hard, very this, like a sun. Sun is like a fiery planet. Moon is like a watery planet. Prabhupada says moon means prominent watery planet. Right? It's very cooling. The sun is very hot, right? Opposite end of the spectrum. So the great souls, the great leaders, they can have very diverse qualities. They can manifest diverse qualities because they are connected with the Lord. He is himself a repository of all kind of contradictory or diverse qualities, right? Durdarsas tejasavagnir Mahendra iva durjaya Tatikshaya dharitriva Dior iva bhishta do ninam.
Maharaj Prithu was so strong and powerful that no one could disobey his orders anymore. Then one could conquer fire itself. He was so strong that he was compared to Indra, the king of heaven, whose power is insuperable. On the other hand, Maharaj Prithu was also as tolerant as the earth, and in fulfilling various desires of human society, he was like a heaven itself.
Okay, again if you see, Durdharsha, unconquerable like a fire, powerful like a Indra, but also very tolerant. Right? In this world, if one person cannot do anything, then he has to tolerate. Is not? The person is very strong, Durdharsha, he is like the, you know, he has the power like Indra, then no one will be tolerating. In this, people can, if he can do anything, but still he was tolerant. Again, we see that how these are like opposite end of the spectrum qualities. So he had many such beautiful qualities, and Prabhupada explains. Again, if you see, Prabhupada quotes that here. In other words, Maharaj Prithu was softer than a rose flower and harder than the thunderbolt. In this way, he ruled the kingdom. Last two, three lines, 57, shows how he was having many qualities which are seemingly very contradictory or opposite. Right. Where is that verse? The Sanskrit verse of that? It's quoted in Sisi only. After that, you know, Sisi. Yeah, yeah, Sisi, there is a like. See, the verses have the equivalent of Sanskrit. It's quoted in Sanskrit only, yeah.
7th chapter 72 is that Sisi verse. Yeah. 73 is this verse.
Yeah, 7.72 and 73, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, Vajradapi Kathorani. Right?
Mruduni Kushumadapi.
Yeah.
Lokottaranam Sirpamsi Konu Vijnatum Ishvara.
Right? Who can understand? Madhalila 7.72, 7.73. That pure devotees or the Supreme Lord can have seemingly very contradictory qualities. 58, वर्षति स्म यथा कामम् पर्जन्या इव तर्पयन् समुद्र इव दुर्बोध सत्वेनाचल्लराडिव.
Just as rainfall satisfies everyone's desires, Maharaj Prithu used to satisfy everyone. He was like the sea in that no one could understand its depths, and he was like Meru, the king of hills, in the fixity of his purpose.
Right. So many wonderful qualities and comparisons are given. Yeah, read through the translation.
Maharaj Prithu's intelligence and education were exactly like that of Yamaraj, the superintendent of death. His affluence was comparable to the Himalaya mountains, where all valuable jewels and metals are stocked. He possessed great riches like Kubera, the treasurer of the heavenly planets, and no one could reveal his secrets, for they were like the demigod Varunas.
So if you want explanation, you can read through, but briefly explain each. But they're almost self-explanatory. Right? Yamaraj has to have very high intelligence. He cannot commit mistake in giving judgment. He cannot take that risk. So, yes, 60. Yeah, once he committed small mistake, then he had to come. But that was like the Lord's arrangement. 60.
In his bodily strength and in the strength of his senses, Maharaj Prithu was as strong as the wind, which can go anywhere and everywhere. As far as his intelligence was concerned, he was just like the all-powerful Rudra expansion of Lord Shiva or Sadashiva.
Right. So the strength of the senses depends upon the strength of the life here or the balance of the life here. Therefore, if you see, the strength of the senses compared to the wind. So gradually the life here becomes weak towards the end, and the senses also become weak. Right? Yes.
In 61. His bodily beauty, he was just like Cupid, and in his thoughtfulness, he was like a lion. In his affection, he was just like Swayambhu Manu, and in his ability to control, he was like Lord Brahma.
Go ahead.
In his personal behavior, Prithu Maharaj exhibited all good qualities, and in spiritual knowledge he was exactly like Brihaspati. In self-control, he was like Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. As far as his devotional service was concerned, he was a great follower of devotees who were attached to cow protection and rendering all service to the spiritual master and the brahmanas. He was perfect in his shyness and in his gentle behavior. And when he engaged in some philanthropic activity, he worked as if he were working for his own personal self.
Right, again, very beautiful qualities. Praspati, Brahmavade, Atmatattve, Swayamhari. It is a matter of self-control, like the Supreme Lord Himself. And devotional service is a great follower of devotees who are attached to co-protection. Go Guru Vipreshu, attached to co-protection, serving spiritual master and serving brahmanas. Right? Not just that, Hriya Prashraya Shila Bhyam. He was perfect in shyness and his gentle behavior. Right? If someone would glorify him before someone superior, or he would become shy. Right? Although he was very great, but again he had very gentle and shy nature also. And in doing par udyam, which is means someone else benefit, atma tulya, he would work as if he is doing for himself. Right. 63.
Throughout the whole universe, in the higher, lower or middle planetary systems, Prithumar's reputation was loudly declared, and all ladies and saintly persons heard this glory, his glories, which were as sweet as the glories of Lord Ramachandra.
Okay, so was so glorious that his reputation was being sung all over, right? All over the universe. And especially the ladies would sing the glories. Trinam Rama Satam Iva. Prabhupada says in this verse, the words Trinam and Rama are significant. It is a practice among ladies to hear and enjoy the praises of certain heroes. From this verse it appears Prithu Maharaj's reputation was so great that ladies all over the universe would hear of it with great pleasure. The ladies would sing the glories of Lord Ram. It was like a great hero. Similarly, they would sing the glories of Prithu Maharaj with great pleasure and sing and chant about it. So in this way, the glorious character of Prithu Maharaj has been beautifully elucidated this chapter. We'll go to chapter 23, Prithu Maharaj going back home, right, back to Godhead. Maitreya uvacha
Dishtvatmanam
pravayasam
Ekadavanya
Atmavan
Atmanavardhitashesha
Swanusarga Prajapatihi Yagatas Tushtusaschapi Vrittido Dharma Vritsatam Nishpadita Nishpaditishwaradesho Yadartham iha jaggivan Atmajeshu atmajamnasya Virahat rudatim iva Prajashu vimanasweka Sadaro gattabhovanam
At the last stage of his life, when Maharaj Prithu saw himself getting old, that great soul who was king of the world divided whatever opulence he had accumulated amongst all kinds of living entities, moving and non-moving. He arranged pensions for everyone according to religious principles, and after executing the orders of Supreme Personality Godhead in complete coordination with him, he dedicated his sons unto the earth, which was considered to be his daughter. Then Maharaj Prithu left the presence of his citizens, who were almost lamenting and crying from feeling separation from the king, and went to the forest alone with his wife to perform austerities.
Okay, so here Mother Earth is considered like the daughter of the king, right? Because he was under him, Mother Earth was producing all necessity. He took care of not exploiting the earth, but you know, taking care of the earth, right? That we already said it, right, in the beginning. So Atmajam in the verse 3, Atmajam refers to earth, the daughter. So he said Visharadagat has, even the earth was crying when Prithu Maharaj was going, right? All the citizens were crying. He was feeling so much separation from Prithu Maharaj. Such were his qualities that even his daughter, like the earth, she was also crying. But he left all the citizens and the earth under the charge of his grown-up sons, who were also very great personalities. And then he went with his wife alone to perform austerities. Okay. So therefore, Krishna consciousness is a science of both living and leaving. Right. One has to live and also leave. Right. So therefore, now while living, Prithu Maharaj exemplified. Now he has to set the example of also leaving, right, for all the citizens, how to leave everything behind ultimately, because this world is both substantial and insubstantial. And as we say, this world is both real and unreal. For the devotee, it is real, can be engaged in Krishna service. It is unreal. And for those who want to enjoy it, that is, world is unreal. But in both cases, the world is temporary. Right? Therefore, one has to give it up. Right? Even the devotees have to give up everything. Right? So therefore, you know, he is setting the example of leaving. And it's mentioned that he went to place known as Tapovanam. Sadaro ga Tapovanam. Prabhupada said It is understood that there were many tapovans. Right? It's a generic name. There were many places, many forests, which were specially meant for people to retire and go perform tapasya. Right? So tapovan is not just simple one, but it's many forests would have the same name, tapovan. In near Nasik also there is Tapovan. There is one Tapovan Express. If you go to Tapovan, you will see people are eating ice creams and roasted peanuts. Now if you go to modern Tapovan, right? So it's a like a tourist site and site of enjoyment. Bhogavan. So all the Tapovans are in Kali Yuga only Bhogavan. Right? But there were many tapovans which were specifically meant for performing austerities.
Why is here this ritual just like, let's say, the women should be stay, under other than marriage, under the husband, then
again, other like that? Yeah, so women can also accompany.
Here actually, the Atti now, she's going with the, she has also already grown up the children there. And also you have Buddha not return also. He's going to Brahmaputra and then going to backwards. In that sense she could have stayed actually.
No, she could have, but there is both options are there. She can also go and perform austerities and assist her husband.
Yeah.
Both husband and wife can together also go and perform tapasya. Yeah. Together they can also perform tapasya. She wanted to be with Prithu Maharaj performing tapasya and also go back home back to Godhead together. तत्रापि अदाभ्य नियमो वैखानस सुसम्मते आरब्ध उग्र तपसि यथा सो विजये पुरा.
After retiring from family life, Maharaj Prithu strictly followed the regulations of retired life and underwent severe austerities in the forest. He engaged in these activities as seriously as he had formerly engaged in leading the government and conquering everyone.
And another beautiful quality is that how he was very active in ruling, right? And also he was similarly very active in his austerity or retirement. Right? Just like he ruled very actively, he also retired and performed the duties of his retired life also very actively. Right? He performed tapasya and everything also very, very, he put the same amount of energy. Right? So just like you are all now fully active in study, therefore after passing, you should also be similarly fully active in your seva. Right? Yeah, so text 5. Kandamula phalahara shushka parnashana kuchet भक्षा कदचित् पक्षान् वायु भक्षस्तता परम्.
In the tapovana, Maharaj Prithu sometimes ate the trunks and roots of trees, and sometimes he ate fruit and dried leaves, and for some weeks he drank only water. Finally, he lived simply by breathing air.
Okay, so very severe tapasya. Just eating some tree roots or some trunk and some fruits, dry leaf, right? And just water and just then later air only. It's like his Dhru Maharaj, right? Dhru Maharaj was his one of his forefathers. So Vayu Bhakshas Tatah Param. So Prabhupada says Prabhupada says that Prithu Maharaj, when he went to the forest, it's not that from his kingdom daily tiffin was coming. Prabhupada writes that he did not eat any cooked food sent from the city. Right? So tiffin service. And when he went to the forest, there was no tiffin service for Prithu Maharaj. Therefore, he ate simply roots, tree trunk, fruits, dried leaves, whatever nature provides in that way. Right? That's what he was fully active in his duties of retired life also. And Prabhupada specially he mentions, in this way he lived in the forest, underwent severe austerity, especially in regard to eating. In other words, overeating is not at all recommended for one who wants to progress in spiritual life. Right? And then Prabhupada again further describes how the living in the forest is a mode of goodness, sitting in the passion, in a brothel, the mode of ignorance, and to live in the temple is Vaikuntha. Right? So therefore Prabhupada says, this Krishna consciousness movement affords one the opportunity to live in the temple of the Lord, which is as good as Vaikuntha. Consequently, a Krishna conscious person does not need to go to the forest and artificially imitate Prithu Maharaj. So Prabhupada says, Rupa Goswami, after retiring, he went to live in Vrindavan under different tree and so on. He lived like Prithu Maharaj at Rupa Goswami. But after him, many people have gone to Vrindavan to imitate Rupa Goswami. But instead of advancing, they have fallen into material habits. They become victim of illicit sex, gambling and intoxication. So therefore, Prabhupada says, instead of trying to imitate Prithu Maharaj or Rupa Goswami and going to the forest and falling prey to all materialistic habits, better one follows the example of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, right? Who lived in a temple which is Vaikuntha or transcendental, and when better take a vow to accept Krishna Prasad and eat nothing else and follow the four regulative principles and chant 16 rounds. Right? In this way, one's spiritual life will never be disturbed. Right? So therefore, if one tries to imitate Prithu Maharaj, he may actually land up, instead of advancing, he may degrade himself. Right? So therefore, better a person stay in a temple, next prasad, chant, follow regulative principles and advance without being disturbed. Right? So this is important. So one should understand, actually, especially in this age of Kali Yuga, to stay together and to serve together is a greater austerity than eating dry leaves. Right? It's a fact. Right? Many ISKCON senior leaders have realized and spoken about it. Right? To stay together and to serve together in this age of Kali Yuga is a greater austerity than to eat dry leaves in the forest. Right? So, therefore, the program given by Prabhupada, right, to stay together in cooperation, that is the biggest austerity. And that we have to do. Krishme panchata paviro. Varshashu asarashan munihi akantham maganashiri shishire udke sthandileshaya.
Following the principles of forest living and the footsteps of the great sages and munis, Prithu Maharaj accepted five kinds of eating processes during the summer season, exposed himself to torrents of rain in the rainy season, and in the waters to in the winter stood in water up to his neck. He also used to simply lie down on the floor to sleep.
Okay, so panchatapa, from five sides, heat, that means from the four sides, burning fire all around, from the top, sun, in the summer heat, right, lighting of the fire, sitting, the sun is on the top. That is panchatapa. And just being outside in the heavy rains, in the very cold winters, standing in cold water up to the neck throughout, Right. So these are the tapasyas he performed. Right. So again, Prabhupada gives a balanced understanding. These are some of the austerities executed by the jnanis and yogis who cannot accept the process of bhakti yoga. Sometimes it is difficult to accept something very simple. Right. So bhakti yoga process is very simple and profound. But those who cannot accept the simple and profound path, then they have to execute very severe austerities. Again, Prabhupada says, the purpose of undergoing such severe austerities is to become devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, as explained in the next verse. So again, one should understand that Prithu Maharaj, he took this process of tapasya, which was the current process for self-realization. That was the current process, that everyone should retire, perform tapasya in Varnaprastha. It is a gradual path of retirement and tapasya and purification. Right? That was the current. So therefore, in order not to be lapsed in the Varnashram duties, he performed. But actually, while doing all of this, his mind was absorbed in Krishna. That should be understood. Text 7. Titikshur yada vagdanta urdhvareta jitanilaha ariradhyushu krishnam acharat tapa uttamam.
Maharaj Prithu underwent all these severe austerities in order to control his words and his senses, to refrain from discharging his semen, and to control the life air within his body. All this he did for the satisfaction of Krishna. He had no other purpose.
Okay, so he performed all these austerities. Tikshur yat vagdanta udvaret jitanila Ari Radhya Yishu Krishnam, as a worship of the Lord, for the satisfaction of the Lord. Right? So there is again very beautiful insight, something very deep point made in this regard. One thing we will discuss is that he is performing this to set a good example for others, right? Varnashram example for others to follow. But not just that, he was performing this tapasya because he felt himself unqualified to worship the Supreme Lord. Right? So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, desiring to worship Krishna directly in the spiritual world, I will do these austerities. He thought that I want to worship Krishna in the spiritual world. I will do these austerities. I will purify myself, and I will become qualified to serve Krishna directly in the spiritual world. Right? So we see that many perfected devotees, out of their natural humility, it's not that they have to think that I should think humbly or something. Naturally, many perfected souls, they feel themselves unqualified, and in their feelings of separation from the Lord, when they experience separation, they feel that they have to execute some kind of sadhana or tapasya to become qualified, to purify themselves. Right? So, if you see, the flowers of the spiritual world in third canto, when they saw the great position of Tulsi, they said, oh, we can also serve the Lord, not out of competition, but they think, oh, this Tulsi has performed great austerity, maybe we can also perform austerity and become more qualified to serve Krishna. Yasmin tapasu manaso bahumalayanti. So in general, the general understanding is that tapasya makes a person pure and qualified to worship the Supreme Lord. That is the general understanding, general Vedic understanding. Because if you see the ladies of Mathura, when they glorify the ladies of Vrindavan, they recite a verse, Gopyastapakimacharan yadamushya rupam lavanyasaram asamodhavanan nisiddham. So they say, Oh, such beautiful face of the Lord. Gupya, Tapaki Macharan, what austerities did they perform? That they are constantly seeing. We are seeing only now. They are daily seeing this beautiful face of the Lord. Gupya, Tapaki Macharan, Yad Mushya Rupam, Lavanya Saram, the essence of all loveliness. Asamurdham, Ananya Siddham. So, this is a very beautiful verse in the 44th chapter, 10th canto. Gopyastha Pahaki Macharan. What kind of tapasya? Then the Nagapatnis, when they saw Krishna is dancing on their hoods, they saying, Kasyan Bhavasya na Deva Vidmahe. We can't understand what kind of tapasya this Kali has performed. He never did anything in this lifetime, in some previous lifetime. That's what tapasya can't give us this kind of result. Lakshmi, Mother Lakshmi performed great tapasya to achieve Krishna, right? But she could not attain Krishna. He had attained the lotus feet of the Lord. Right? What tapasya? So there are so many cases. The gopis think, what tapasya this flute has performed? He is drinking the nectar from Krishna's lips. Right? So there are at many places, whenever someone is fortunate, other person thinks, kya tapasya kiya hai, right? So tapasya is considered like to give the qualification. Right? To give the qualification. So there's a traditional understanding. Right? So therefore, Prithu Maharaj thought, I am not qualified to serve the Lord in the spiritual world. Let me purify myself, gain qualification by doing severe tapasya. Although the devotees do not have to undergo tapasya, out of their humility, they want to execute some sadhan to become qualified. Right? There are many such examples you will find in the scriptures. Sanatana Goswami, right? That is executing sadhana bhakti, Rupa Goswami, all the Goswami very strictly executed sadhana bhakti, you will find. Thinking that they are not sufficiently pure and qualified. So, also Prabhupada gives one understanding that here is very clearly mentioned Ari Radhya Yishu Krishnam. He did all this to worship Krishna. So, Prabhupada said there are second paragraph says there are many fools who claim that worship of Krishna began only 5000 years ago after the appearance of Lord Krishna in India, but it is not a fact. Prithu Maharaj worshipped Krishna millions of years ago, right? Here is evidence. Ari Radhishu Krishnam. Okay, there is another. So Prabhupada quite elaborately describes Ari Radhishu Krishnam Acharat Tap Uttamam. Right? In the next paragraph, also in the beginning, Prabhupada talks of Prithu Maharaj underwent severe type of austerity for the express purpose of worshipping Krishna. And then he quotes this famous verse Aradhito Yadi Haris Tapasat Takim. Naradhito yadi hari tapasa tatakim. So many people quote this verse to say that tapasya is useless. Tapasa tatakim. Kya use hai tapasya ka? So this verse is not saying that tapasya is useless. This verse is saying the purpose of tapasya is to worship Hari. This verse is showing if you are not worshipping Hari and you're not going in that direction, then things are useless. Not that the tapasya is useless. Mm. So, getting the point. So, this verse should not be misunderstood. Twice said, tapasa tatakim. Right? To give more prominence to the worship of Hari. But, if tapasya is performed to be purified in one's worship, right, that is always very glorious. Okay? As Rishabhdev says, what does he say? Tapo divyena putraka yena sattvam shuddhe. So everyone should strive for increasing purification in the worship of Hari. Like that. So, again Prabhupada gives a very beautiful understanding where he quotes this. If you go ahead 4 or 5 lines, he said, we should therefore not be discouraged just because we cannot go to the forest and practice severe austerities. our life is so short that we must strictly adhere to the principles laid down by the Vaishnavacharyas and peacefully execute Krishna consciousness. There is no need to become despondent. Right? Like that. This Krishna conscious movement is therefore very safe and easy. Do you see that? So therefore, one should not become very despondent and try to execute severe tapasya and degrade himself. Rather, one should follow the direction of spiritual master, and that will be very safe and easy. Text 8. Ten kramanu siddhena dost karma malashayah pranayama sanniruddha shanvargas chinna bandhana.
By thus practicing severe austerities, Maharaj Prithu gradually became steady first in spiritual life and completely free from all desires for futile activities. He also practiced breathing exercises to control his mind and senses, and by such control he became completely free from all desires for futile activity.
Okay, so then Prabhupada, wherever there is a question of yoga pranayam, Prabhupada always says, criticize all the modern yogis first of all. Who never spares them. Whenever there is a chance, see, the purpose of yoga and pranayama is to control the mind and senses. And here he says, to stop the mind and senses from engaging in foodie activity. That is the purpose. Another beautiful point which Prabhupada says in the third paragraph is, King Prithu's activities took place in Satya Yoga, and in this age, this practice of yoga is misunderstood by fallen souls who are not capable of practicing anything. Right? So Prabhupada says that they actually can't do all this. Yoga means such hard austerities and all that. Right? Yoga doesn't mean that they are eating and there is no yam, niyam. Right? They are just eating anything, doing anything. They are not capable of doing anything actually. Therefore, the scriptures advise Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Eva Kevalam. Right? So Prabhupada quotes that verse. And then Prabhupada also quotes the verse which you learned yesterday. Right? About the Bhakti Yoga. We can recite this verse, quoted by Prabhupada. Yad pada pankaja parash vilasa bhaktya karmashayam gratitam udgratayam kisanta tadbanda ritta matayo yad yogi rukta shoto ganashta varnam bhajava sudevam. Just worship the Supreme Lord, which is very safe and easy path. As far as pranayam is concerned, chanting of the holy name of the Lord and dancing in ecstasy are also considered pranayam. Oh, you are saying that one has to.
Sometimes Kirtan, we are not interested to dance actually. Stand, but
oh, so Prabhupada is saying we should dance. Yes.
Yeah, this is pranayama.
Pranayama. Dancing. Dancing. Your breathing is regulated in the dancing of the Lord. There was one grahastha. He once came to Guru Puja and started dancing very wildly, very nicely. And we said, he never dances before. What has happened? So he said, doctor has asked me to reduce weight. I thought this is a good way. You know, I can dance nicely. So he was showing extra enthu, right? In dancing to burn the calories and reduce the weight. Right? And so on. Anyway, so that happens byproduct. That is a byproduct. So chanting and dancing, pranayama and yoga also happens as a byproduct. कल से देखो कौन कौन प्राणायाम करेगा टेक्स्ट 9 सनत कुमारो भगवान
सनत कुमारो भगवान
यद्दाहाध्यात्मिकं परम
यद्दाहाध्यात्मिकं परम
योगं तेनैव पुरुषं
योगं तेनैव पुरुषं
भजत पुरुषर्षभ
अर्षभ पुरुषर्षभ
कस्ट द बेस्ट अमंग्स ह्यूमन बीइंग्स Maharaj Prithu followed the path of spiritual advancement which was advised by Sanat Kumar. That is to say, he worshipped the Supreme Personality of God, Krishna.
Okay, Sanat Kumaro Bhagavan, yet aha adhyatmikam param. So, he followed very strictly the last two verses. Right? What does Sanat Kumar finally conclude? यद पाद पंकज पलाश विलास भक्त्या और शोतो गणास्तमरणम भज वासुदेवम राइट सो देयरफॉर वेरी स्ट्रिक्टली प्रिथु महाराज फॉलोड दैट एडवाइस एंड ही वर्शिप द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड सो देयर अनदर ब्यूटीफुल पॉइंट इज द बेस्ट बीइंग द बेस्ट ह्यूमन बीइंग इज ही हु वर्शिप द सुप्रीम बीइंग सो पुरुषम रेफर्स टू सुप्रीम बीइंग And Purusharshabha refers to Prithu Maharaj, who is the best being. Right? So the best human being is one who worships the Supreme Being. So Prabhupada describes that in the first paragraph. And also Prabhupada says, In the second paragraph toward the end, if a devotee adheres strictly to the orders of the spiritual master, follows the rules and regulation and chants the Hare Krishna mantra, it should be concluded he is already at the Brahma Bhut stage. Right? Just like he strictly followed, is mentioned, he followed the instruction of Sanat Kumar. So Prabhupada is making a parallel. If a devotee follows the orders of the spiritual master, all the rules and regulations, then it is to be concluded is already at the Brahma Bhuta stage. Okay. So, one thing is, you should understand, one thing is, constitutionally, and one thing is functionally. Just like Prabhupada used to say, anything used in the service of the Lord becomes spiritual. How it becomes spiritual? It becomes spiritual functionally. May not be constitutionally spiritual yet, but functionally it is spiritual. Just like the iron rod, it is iron, mainly earth. But when it is in touch with fire, it becomes fire functionally, not constitutionally. So therefore, a devotee, he still may have many material defects, but if simply follow the order of the spiritual master, then he is transcendental to those defects. He is a Brahma Bhuta stage in a functional way. Right? Because if he continues to function like that, one day constitutionally also, he will become like that. Right? So therefore, many times, I think Isha Upanishad also, or NOTV defines pure devotees, Prabhupada defines in one of the books, pure devotee is one who is fully engaged with his body in the service of the Lord. Right. So that defines that how if a person is functioning under the instruction of the spiritual master in the right way, right direction, then he is actually liberated. But soon constitutionally also he'll be having get the Satchidanand body. Right? So therefore, how we are acting is very important. We may be under the three modes, but if we simply follow the instruction of a person who is above the three modes, then we are also above the three modes functionally. Right. That's how one should transcend material limitations or material contamination by simply acting under the higher authority. Then one becomes transcendental, functionally. If we violate, if we deviate from the order, again we are back to square one. Yes.
Here actually, Samsumar taught a pure devotion, Bhakti Yoga. But here actually, it says Adhyatin Yoga actually. Why not taking to Bhakti Yoga? That is just like Kapil Dev also, when he taught the first step of Adhyatin Yoga, he taught three things. But here actually, pure Bhakti Yoga, Samsumar actually taught. Why is he indirect?
No, who says he taught pure Bhakti Yoga? Finally he taught. But he taught, before that he taught Adhyatmik Yoga, right? Which is like he taught about Jnana also, about educating karmas also. Right? So therefore all that was there. So therefore, Yad Adhyatmikam Param, right? The Param refers to Bhakti Yoga. Although he taught everything, but the highest of the Adhyatmik Yoga as described is Bhakti Yoga. The word Param here is used. Text 10.
Maharaj Prithu thus engaged completely in devotional service, executing the rules and regulations strictly according to principles, 24 hours daily. Thus, his love and devotion unto the Supreme Personal Godhead, Krishna, developed and became unflinching and fixed.
Okay, so with great faith he executed the principle of devotional service. While it's not mentioned that he executed the other karmas or his duties of varnashram with great faith, it's not mentioned like that. So, if a devotee executes ordinary duties without having faith in them, that they are not the source of perfection, but having faith only in the mercy of Krishna, and it is as good as he is not executing those duties. Okay? This principle also one should understand. Okay. Also, Prabhupada makes the point that here the word Brahmani, Bhaktir Bhagavati Brahmani. Here, Brahmani doesn't refer to impersonal Brahman but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because Bhagavad Dharma cannot be applied to impersonal Brahman. Bhagavad Dharma, when the Bhagavad Dharma comes, it means Supreme Personality of Godhead. As His Holiness Devamana Swami Maharaj says, Bhakti is a supremely personal science dedicated to the Supreme Person. Right? So it's a very personal science. Text 11. Or maybe we can end at the text 10 only. Right? 5 minutes before, sometime we exceed the time, so sometime we can end a little before time also.